We often think of faith as something personal, but Corpus Christi challenges that idea, because this feast takes what we believe and places it right in the public eye. Stay tuned to hear the insights. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's insights may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. And before we dive in, I want to let you know that we have a wonderful website full of spiritual resources, novenas, and articles to help you grow in faith. You can find a link in the description below. Now let's dive into today's topic. This week, the Church celebrates the Great Feast of Corpus Christi. Some of you may have already celebrated it yesterday, while others will celebrate it this Sunday. The day when our Lord, truly present in the Most Holy Eucharist, is not only adored in our churches, but carried out into the streets for all to see. But maybe you've asked yourself, why does the Church even do this? Without the historical context, it can seem unusual. So to help answer that question, I want to share with you a powerful insight from Professor Plinio Cuera de Oliveira, an insight that shows us that this feast is not only an act of adoration, but also a response. Listen to this. I would like to tell you something about the reason why the Feast of Corpus Christi was instituted. You know that the Protestants denied and still deny the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Sacrament, and that this was one of the greatest scandals in the Church in the 16th century, which was a century of so many scandals. Medieval Christians had profound faith in the Most Holy Sacrament, in the real presence, and therefore a great devotion both to the Holy Mass and to the adoration of the Most Holy Sacrament. And the Protestants brutally denied the real presence. This denial was one of the points of fracture between Protestants and Catholics, and was received by Catholics as one of the worst outrages ever committed against our Lord. Notice the strong language the professor uses, an outrage against our Lord. For Catholics at the time, and still today, this wasn't just an abstract debate. It struck at the very heart of the Church's life. But let's continue. So what was the pastoral tactic used by the Church in the face of this fact? The saints, the theologians, and the popes who lived at that time thought as follows. The Catholic Church was instituted by Jesus Christ to teach the truth, and she has no right to give a confused teaching, because a confused teaching is not worthy of the name. Even if unintentionally, if a teacher, through incompetence, allows confusion to reign over what he teaches, he is not worthy to be a teacher, because clarity is the first quality of a teacher. In other words, teaching requires clarity as a presupposition. A man may be wise and not be clear, but a man cannot be a teacher and not be clear. If the Church were to remain silent on the Eucharist, the faithful would hear from her a confused teaching about a truth necessary for salvation. She would be failing in her mission as a teacher. Secondly, if the Church were to remain silent about the Eucharist, it would lead the faithful to receive communion poorly. Without clear teaching on what they are receiving, they could not receive it properly. Who can make an act of adoration to the Blessed Sacrament if he is not certain whether our Lord is truly present there or not? It is impossible. So what the professor is saying is this: the Church has no right to be confusing or silent. Not even for the sake of peace, not even to avoid offending people. Truth has a right to clarity. And then he adds something really worth noting. But above all, there is a principle, not the most obvious, but one I want especially to highlight. The strength of any institution lies in carrying its own principles to their ultimate consequences. The moment it thinks it must soften its principles in order to survive, it has already admitted that it is dead. Those fathers of the Council of Trent understood this, and in response to Protestantism, they chose to emphasize devotion to the Most Holy Sacrament. They instituted a feast for the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and organized procession in which the Blessed Sacrament is carried through the streets, adored by all, so that it may be seen that entire crowds kneel to the ground, recognizing that under the Eucharistic appearances, our Lord Jesus Christ is truly present. And they promoted devotion to the Blessed Sacrament in every possible way, reaching even that fullness which is perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It was a policy of confrontation, of not yielding, of standing firm, of fighting, of affirming, of proclaiming. It was a policy of honesty, of fidelity, of integrity, of coherence. The professor concludes, "The feast of Corpus Christi is the feast of the Most Holy Sacrament, but it is also a great lesson in combativeness. Let us learn this lesson and strive to be increasingly combative for love of Our Lady and for the adoration of the Most Holy Sacrament." So as we just heard, the Feast of Corpus Christi is not simply about devotion. It's a statement to the whole world. That's why we walk the streets instead of remaining inside the church. We are boldly proclaiming, "Jesus is here." Now, here's a question worth asking yourself. In my own life, do I sometimes try to soften the truths of my faith? Do I keep certain things hidden out of fear, discomfort, or the desire to fit in? Because Corpus Christi reminds us that the truths of our faith are not meant to remain private. They are not something we should be ashamed of. I know this can be easier said than done, so let us ask for the grace to believe more deeply, to adore more fervently, and to stand more firmly in the truth of our faith. Wishing you a blessed Feast of Corpus Christi this Sunday. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share to help spread Padre Pio's message. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss our latest uploads. Want to deepen your connection with Padre Pio? Consider becoming a protected child of Padre Pio, a special way to grow spiritually and be part of our prayerful community. You'll find a link to the join page in the description below. Check out the recommended videos on the end screen or the links in the description for more inspiring content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist. We also have a beautiful website full of spiritual resources, novenas, and articles to help you grow in faith, so feel free to check it out. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.